Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Alrighty, we are fired up as we get into hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. The Dallas Mavericks season is now right around the corner. Just a couple of more weeks, we'll be tipping it off, and maybe we're more fired up and excited about this basketball team going into a season than at any point since the prime Dirk years. You know, I'm really feeling the intensity. Mavs fans kept up the passion and the conversation all off season. They're excited, obviously, about Klay Thompson and their new wings and the development of their young guys. And all that brings us to this next segment is one of our favorite Mavs talkers, Bobby Corella, joining us with a new outfit now, All City Dallas. And good afternoon, Bobby. Thanks for joining us once again here on The Fan.
Absolutely, gentlemen. I know it's only been 4 months, but sometimes it feels like it's been 4 years since I've talked to you guys. I'm so ready for basketball to be back.
Let's freaking go, dude. Okay, so I want to start with I'm a little bit bent out of shape, okay? So everybody's still picking the Thunder to win the West, and I'm thinking, did we not see what happened? Is Alex Caruso really that good compared to Klay Thompson? What do you say here, Bobby? Are they off? A lot of the national experts picking OKC to go to the finals.
I'm still kind of leaning OKC, honestly. You know, picking up Caruso was huge for them. Picking up Isaiah Hartenstein, I think, was even bigger for them, just because, you know, for as good as Chet Holmgren is at both ends of the floor already, you could make the case that Derek Lively was the best big man in that series, and he was a huge swing factor in determining it going the Mavs' way. So adding more size, more athleticism, more length, more rebounding around the rim, I think is going to be big for them. But then also, Caruso, whether he's coming off the bench or he's in their starting lineup, I expect him to play a lot, and he is a much better defender and much better shooter than Josh Giddey. He's maybe not the same playmaker as Giddey, certainly not as big or tall as Giddey is, but he's a much better shooter. That was a huge weakness for them throughout that series with the Mavs, and he is maybe the single best perimeter defender in the NBA. So, you know, if you're Kyrie Irving, you're going to have to deal with him. If you're Luka, you might have to deal with him. He's an annoying pest that's in your face, and you know, it makes them match up a little better with the Mavs, in my opinion. But, I mean, if any conversation you're having about the West right now starts with OKC in Dallas in whatever order, everybody else is a clear level or two down from those two teams, in my opinion.
At least we're back in the starting conversation, Bobby. It's nice to be at the top of the list of contenders again. Now, there's a lot of different angles we can go with the Mavs, but I do want to ask you about the news today, Dante Exum undergoing surgery. He's going to be out until probably at least the All-Star break. In your opinion, how much of an impact is this since they did add Spencer Dinwiddie and they seem to be as deep as they've ever been since Luke has been here?
Yeah, they have a lot of guards. You know, they have a lot of guards. Even without Exum, they still have a lot of guards. And they got another guy, Jazz Gortman, that had a huge game in the first preseason game. And now all of a sudden they might end up offering him a two-way contract, so they'll have even another guard. But Exum is really, you know, outside of Najee Marshall, who's much more of a forward, you know, PJ Washington, much more of a forward, Exum is really the only guy on the team that I feel super comfortable with defending the point of attack outside of Quentin Grimes, who himself has an injury history. I mean, he was very limited last year with some knee issues that he says are fine, but you know, now all of a sudden you really only got one guy that can do the Derrick Jones Jr. bit from last season, where he's just chasing around guys like Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, you know, these really quick guys at the point of attack that can not only slice you and dice you, but that can also pull up from 35 feet. And, you know, so losing Exum in that respect is very difficult. He's a steady playmaker, but that perimeter defense is so valuable on the team with Luka and Kyrie, where you want to protect those guys from having to guard superstars for 30 or 35 minutes a night. You want to hide those guys on defense so that you don't expose them to wear and tear and injury and foul trouble and all that stuff. And so losing Exum hurts them a little bit. But, you know, the unfortunate reality about Exum's career is that he's just been so dang unlucky with injuries that the Mavs had to kind of be prepared for this eventuality anyway. And so hopefully Quentin Grimes is ready to step up. Hopefully Dinwiddie can step up. And, I mean, I know Mavs fans really want Jaden Hardy to step up and see some more minutes as well. So they have some options, but it is an unfortunate blow for the Mavs and for Exum for sure.
Hey, Bobby, congratulations on the new gig, man.
Thank you.
I was kind of wondering where your expectations are and what are Mavs fans' expectations for Klay Thompson and really in the role you see him playing on a nightly basis. How do you see this all kind of, if you could crystal ball it and play it out it that way?
I mean, optimistically, I think he's going to have the easiest shots of his career, and he spent his entire career playing with Steph Curry. So, I mean, that lets you know just how wide open I think he's going to be here. It is going to be a much different offensive system than Klay's used to playing. You know, I don't think the Mavs are going to run him off very many screens. If they do, it might be one single pin down or something. Like, it's not going to be any sort of this whirling craziness that Golden State was doing for all those years alongside Steph underneath Steve Kerr with Draymond kind of running the show. You know, the Mavs offensive system, for better or worse, is a little more stagnant and a little more predictable because you need guys to be where Luka expects them to be because he throws so many no-look passes against double teams. So you have to be able to anticipate these things. Now, where I think Klay might be used in ways to get him on the move that maybe he's not so used to, but that should be an easy adjustment, or at least could be, is what if Klay is screening for Luka, and then all of a sudden his guy is not going to want to leave him to guard Luka. Luka's guy isn't going to want to leave Luka to guard Klay, and so something chaotic is going to happen and unfold. And if Klay can set one of these screens and then pop, you know, if it's at the top of the arc, maybe Klay can pop under the wing. If it's on the wing, maybe he can pop to the top of the arc. He's going to be left alone in the corners a couple times, you know, whenever guys are too preoccupied with Luka and Kyrie. So I think there are opportunities for him to be on the move. I think instead of just running off screens, he might be the one setting them. And, you know, we'll see what happens there. But it's going to be a long season, you know, and they're gonna have plenty of time to try and figure out some interesting ways to get him the ball.
Pick and pop with Klay Thompson, man, that sounds exciting.
Give me
now,
that.
What about on the other side? Is there any thought on or managing, you know, Klay and Luka and Kyrie on the court all together at the same time? How's that thing sort itself out?
Yeah, I don't know how much we're going to see them on the court together, at least during the regular season, to be honest. You know, last year, Luka and Kyrie as a duo, they only played like 24, 25 minutes a game just with the two of them on the floor, you know, whenever both were available. And so whenever you introduce a third guy into the mix, basically the way I see it playing out is, let's say the first 5-6 minutes of the first and third quarter before one of them checks out, maybe the last few minutes of the first half, and then the last like 5 to 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. I mean, you add that up all together, that's probably like 15 to 20 minutes a game with the three of them on the floor, which I feel like for the regular season is about right. You know, again, you don't want to expose these guys to foul trouble. I don't really want Klay guarding Giannis. I don't really want Luka guarding LeBron. I don't want Kyrie guarding Steph, you know. So let's just try and get as many defenders out there as possible, make these guys' jobs easy, and then try and figure out some sort of defensive identity, some sort of sustainable and repeatable defensive game plan to minimize the risk while also, you know, maintaining this incredible offense that they hope to have. Because, I mean, make no mistake, like, these guys are going to score. They're going to shoot the absolute S out of the ball. They might set 3-point records. I mean, it's going to be incredible, but they have to be able to defend. I mean, we saw they didn't turn their season around last year until they woke up one day and decided, hey, let's be committed to being a top 5, top 10 caliber defense, and it took them all the way to the finals. So the blueprint is there. They just got to find a way to execute it. And I think, you know, luckily they have 82 games to figure it out, but it's not going to be easy. I mean, these are offensive guys, and two of them are on the other side of 30. So it's going to be tough, but, you know, hopefully the commitment and the buy-in is there.
We're talking with our buddy Bobby Chiarella about your reigning Western Conference champion Dallas Mavericks, and Frank Vogel recently was added to the staff. What do you think about that addition?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, he is kind of the originator of the defensive system that the Mavs play. And so, you know, if you're looking to maintain or really establish a new defensive identity, because there are some new guys in here, you know, every season you start at the base of the mountain just with all the other teams. You know, it doesn't matter that you were in the finals last year. You know, if you're trying to learn how to play defense from anybody in the NBA right now, it's either going to be Tibbs or Frank Vogel. Pretty much Nick Nurse is the only other guy that has original ideas right now. I mean, Frank Vogel is like the defensive guru in the NBA. And so, you know, credit to Jason Kidd for saying, hey, I could use some help. And, you know, I know the Mavs are going to benefit from that quite a bit. And, you know, just shows that they really are committed to that side of the ball. And they have to be. Again, they have to be. I mean, last year they were a top five, top 10 offense the entire season. But they woke up on March 5th and March 7th. They had a team meeting after a blowout loss to the Pacers. They were like the 23rd or 24th ranked defense in the league. That just cannot be the case. The West is too competitive. It's going to be way too hard to make the playoffs. You have to be at least around league average if you want to be in the top six. And if you want to play game one at home and, you know, try and get some home court throughout the playoffs, you got to be top five, top 10. And so bringing in Vogel should hopefully help them figure out a way to get there.
So they lose Derrick Jones Jr., but you add Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes. Do you see them being better roster-wise defensively?
They're kind of different. You know, Grimes and Marshall, you know, Grimes is 6'5", Marshall's like 6'7". So Marshall is closer to Derrick Jones' dimensions, but Najee's a little thicker and a little stronger, a little sturdier. So I think that he'll match up better with guys like LeBron or Giannis, you know, these more physical, like Jimmy Butler type of players that may have been able to knock Jones off his spot, or that could simply just overwhelm him with strength. Grimes is not quite as tall, but he's just as feisty. And the thing that both of those guys do, both Grimes and Marshall do, that I really like is kind of take the fight to the opponent. Jones was really good at avoiding screens. Jones was really good at kind of staying between the ball and the basket. These very fundamental principles of playing defense, but Marshall and Grimes are both big steals guys. They're very disruptive. They get a lot of deflections. They're going to cause a little bit of chaos, force some turnovers. You know, and last year, even whenever the Mavs did turn around their defense, and they were great the last month or two of the season, but even when they did turn around their defense, they were still around league average and forcing turnovers. And so even though you're playing well, your opponent's still getting a lot of shots. Sometimes the best way to keep the other team from scoring is to not let them shoot in the first place. You know, pick their pocket, jump the passing lane, make something happen, get out in transition and score the other way. So the fact that Grimes and Marshall can at least do a little bit of something, I think could be really good and kind of pay dividends, because Luke and Kyrie are sort of the same way. I mean, Luke and Kyrie are certainly not at the same level of defenders as Grimes and Marshall are, but they can force turnovers. You know, I mean, that is a thing. That is a skill. They're big steals guys. And so, you know, if Dallas can turn opponents' possessions into layups going the other way, I mean, that's a really good way to maintain a really good offense and maintain a good defense too.
Bobby, which young guy will make the biggest jump from where he is currently?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, if we consider Grimes a young guy, I'm really, really bullish on him this season. I think he's really, really good. You know, knee injuries, again, have kind of limited him the last couple of years. But whenever he's healthy, he is a dead-eye corner three shooter, explosive athlete at his size, and a really good defender. And he's playing for a lot right now. I mean, this is the last year of his rookie deal. So, you know, at this point in your career, especially if you've been kind of bogged down by injuries, he's now on his third team, you're looking at your next contract being potentially either like a biannual exception or a veteran's minimum, or a multi-year extension like around the mid-level. So he's got a lot on the line personally, so I expect him to be locked in right now. But again, I think, you know, Mavs fans' hearts are going to tell them Jaden Hardy. With Exum going down and, you know, with so much kind of uncertainty about how many games Luka and Kyrie will play, just because, you know, you might not want them playing every back-to-back or whatever, there are going to be a lot of opportunities for Hardy to play early in the season. And he likewise is in the last year of his rookie deal. So there's just as much on the line, if not more, for Hardy than there is for Grimes. So, you know, when guys are in that situation, you're going to see them lock in on offense. You're going to see them lock in on defense. You're going to see them play as hard as they can. And, I mean, there's a big competition for minutes right now, and one of those guys is going to win. One of those guys might lose. So I'm really curious to see which one can grab the bull by the horns and make it happen.
Bobby Carella, All City Dallas, thank you so much for your time and insights. Enjoy the preseason. We'll try to catch up with you soon.
Hey, thank you guys.
Salute. There he goes. Bobby Carella, must follow for Mavs fans everywhere. So smart about this basketball team. Oh, my damn. You're looking at 15 confirmed tornadoes and dozens more reported here throughout the afternoon as Hurricane Milton has crossed over into a whole other kind of natural disaster there. And it feels like Mother Nature is getting after Florida here pretty good. And we'll keep you updated as the video and the reports continue to stream in. But thanks again to Bobby as we'll keep the sports party going. We're approaching the midway point of our broadcast here. Take a little halftime break. Come back with Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20. Sir, what's in store for us?
Well, Brian wanted food content. I got you, buddy.
Here we go.
We talked Waffle House earlier. I've got Red Lobster news for you. What are the top 10 family restaurant chains in America? That's next in the nation.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. You know what time it is. Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20. A daily tradition, unlike any other here in the nation. Segments brought to you by Soda, that's state of the art. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump to frankelfirm.com. Now here he is, Zach with an H. You're Wooly Bully.
Okay, so we had the boss come running in here, and he was like, huh, you guys see the uniform matchup this week? Well, it is indeed going to be the home navies again for the Cowboys. They're going to wear the navy blues like they did last year against the Lions. The Lions are going to be wearing the whites with the blue trim. So same usual helmets for both teams. Nothing changed there. But Cowboys won last year on what I believe is a Saturday night game against the Lions. And maybe they can go ahead and continue the streak. I think they've won six in a row now against Detroit. So looking to make it seven. Be a heck of a win. If they could pull this off, now all of a sudden you've won three in a row. You're going into your byes and you beat arguably the best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
So this would be pretty big. Get the mojo going.
This is an opportunity right here, Woolchuck, to tell everybody what you thought about us is dead wrong. And yep. We're back, baby. We just needed some time to get this figured out.
We're back, baby. All right. I did see this story from Red Lobster. And I'm going to get into the top 10 best American sit-down family restaurants. So I had some people on Twitter when I posted, like, hey, what's your favorite family restaurant? Like McDonald's. You know, like McDonald's, obviously, there's a ton of them. Chipotle. But this was more full-service, sit-down type of restaurant. So we'll get into that top 10, 877-881-1053. What's your favorite chain American restaurant?
Wouldn't be surprised to hear some people saying Buffalo Wild Wings, where KNC Masterpiece is going to be for Friday's show up there at the Lewisville location. Your next chance to get the 2024 Whataburger G-Bag Nation flag, Woolchuck.
Buffalo Wild Wings might even be mentioned in this list here. But Red Lobster's got a new 35-year-old CEO that was interviewed on CNN. Now, the only time I ever went to Red Lobster, I'll be honest, it was probably for the Cheddar Bay biscuits, or it was for the Endless Shrimp promotion. Now, Eric brought to the table, Red Lobster's across the country been closed. They've been shutting down, and a big part of it was, well, that was a bad marketing strategy with the Endless Shrimp. So here is the new CEO of Red Lobster sitting down with CNN about that decision to end Endless Shrimp.
When you saw Endless Shrimp, you know, what did you think?
So that's a very expensive product to give away endlessly. When you have Endless Shrimp and people are coming in and sitting down at the table and eating for hours as much shrimp as they possibly can, you stress out the kitchen, you stress out the servers, you stress out the host, people can't get a table. It creates a lot of chaos, and you saw a lot of that.
Are you glad that Endless Shrimp is done? Was that pretty crazy?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. Food quality is very good at Red Lobster. It has been since its inception. Now, the menu has gotten too big, so we're going to reduce the menu, but in a very intelligent way.
Do you think you guys might need to close more restaurants?
We intend to be done closing restaurants. Mm-hmm. Intend to grow from here.
Grow from here.
In terms of the business, right? There's going to be investments in the product that will take time. Infrastructure investment takes time. Technology investment takes time. There's 545 restaurants, so fixing every broken HVAC and every torn carpet and every chair that needs replacing will take time, but the impact should be felt right away.
Well, there you go. So if you're a big Red Lobster fan, you're not going to get Endless Shrimp back, but they might not be completely going away. The hope is they can regrow the brand that is Red Lobster, and you can get your Cheddar Bay biscuits, and you won't have to have any problems. I mean, heck, Jonathan Cox, and who is a Tolo, said Texas Roadhouse and Red Lobster are his favorite family sit-down restaurants. So for you, Jonathan, this is tremendous news.
I mean, Red Lobster is great, you know, if you want that mid-price range level where you can get in there, take care of your family for under $20 a head. You know, it's tough to find these days for quality like that. Now, I am disappointed as a shrimp lover. You know, it's about the only thing I'll eat out of the sea. Yeah. To be honest with you, old Chuck. So when this goes away, I understand it. I thought it was foolish.
But
you know,
upset
how some people can eat.
Yeah, I'm upset. I certainly was one of those that would go and sit at Red Lobster and try to eat
for
as
hours?
Many as I can. I think like 2 hours.
How many do you think you got in?
I think the most that I ever ordered was like six reorders. Yeah.
See, I think after two reorders, like my main order, now I'm back for thirds. After thirds, I'm thinking this is just not right to stick around.
Yeah, the key is after the initial, they're going to just bring you like five shrimp.
Oh,
and you need to stay away from the pasta one. That's going to fill you up.
Indeed.
And you usually would probably go with the fried shrimp, I assume.
Yes.
And that the batter's going to, so like you typically, like I would try and maybe go, they had the skewers. You know, maybe they're doing a barbecue skewer. That one's an easy one to put down.
I like the lemon
shrimp
pepper.
Scampi.
Yeah.
The lemon pepper. There was a strategy involved here. Did I feel terrible after about myself and the decisions that I made? Yes, I absolutely did. But I was proud in the moment.
I know that feeling well.
Yeah. All right, let's get to it. Top 10 best American restaurants, chains in America. if I can even speak a full sentence.
If Chief
here.
Was here, I would troll him and say Olive Garden.
Well, he's not going to be happy because Olive Garden's very, very high on this list. Honestly, man, the endless breadsticks and salad is a hell of a deal.
Yeah, the tour of Italy, it's like a little sampler.
Yeah, is it the greatest Italian food? No. But is it serviceable?
It's damn good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lucius, your favorite restaurant chain?
You know, sticking to my roots, I was raised up on a place called Ryan's Steakhouse.
Okay.
Yeah, my family treated that like Nick and Sam's. Put your clothes on, boy. We're going to Ryan's Steakhouse. Meet the family out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now in this age and how I am, Cheesecake Factory. I'll take the family to Cheesecake Factory now. How about that?
Make a lot of great food there.
Now, do you get the same thing every time, or do you try and explore that menu?
That menu is so big, it takes you 30 minutes to go through it. But I kind of stick with the same three things.
Okay.
Even though I try to go through the whole menu, you end up picking the same three things.
Yeah, I've tried to get a different thing at Cheesecake Factory every time, but I will end up usually still kind of, well, I know that I like this. So you just circle back and you get that.
The buffalo shrimp wraps or whatever they call it. Oh, my God.
Okay, well, I have not had that
yet. Oh!
The 214 says he's had over 200 shrimp before in one sitting.
What?
I believe.
Well, that's exactly why they got rid of it.
Shout out to Bubba.
That's incredible.
All the way from Alabama.
My parents were the same way. I feel like I could count on one hand the amount of times, though, we went out to eat. Like, it was a bigger deal, you know, back in the day. It was like, hey, we're going out to eat.
It was. Know? It was an occasion, you know. So, like, growing up, we'd go to Chili's would be in the mix. Bennigan's, when we still had Bennigan's around. Maybe a TGI Fridays. But a Denny's, an IHOP, we certainly weren't against that. Texas Roadhouse,
yeah,
absolutely.
Denny's for breakfast, we would do a lot, you know, on the road for tournaments and
Grand
stuff.
Grand Slam breakfast.
Loved it. Yeah. Loved that and the French
My
Slam.
My dad will point at the menu. Go ahead, you're going to pick from here.
Yeah. And hey, we're winning.
Yeah.
With maybe a grandparent smoking heaters up at the bar.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that was the 80s for you. Did you have a Red Robin? The Red Robin?
Yeah. I've never been to Red Robin. Red Robin's in the top 10 of this list.
Okay. Yeah, it was a big deal.
But they do the endless fries, right?
It was like Applebee's, but slightly higher quality.
Okay.
You know?
Big old chunky burgers.
Yes. But the worst fries. They had the steak fries.
That's probably why they do them then. Endless fries.
Yeah,
that's like a thing that they're advertising. Yeah. But I do, like the commercial, you're right, it's just Red Robin. Yum.
Yeah. Good onion rings there.
Yes.
Well, damn. Cotton Patch Cafe. Good. We used to go there,
shakes.
Too.
Yeah.
We were at Black Eyed Pea.
Oh, dude, I loved Black Eyed Pea growing up.
Black Eyed Pea was really good.
Black Eyed Pea had tremendous rolls in cornbread.
Chicken fried steak at that joint.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You ever been to Luby's?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My dad was a big Luann.
I like that cafeteria tasting food, bro. Yeah. Something about it. That's why I go to Grandy's sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, Grandy's is really good, too. Yeah.
Oh, the best rolls.
Yeah.
Oh,
Grandy's. We get love for Waffle House on here.
Yeah, of course.
Chili's, Papado's. Go to Olive Garden, get the linguine. Is somebody that texted in?
Yeah, I get the shrimp linguine.
Twin Peaks.
It's not bad.
Twin Peaks isn't going to be here just because of the scenic views. I don't know. I mean, hey, you can take the family there. I think everything's acceptable now.
Yeah,
those Southwestern egg rolls.
You don't like milk?
Do slap.
Yeah.
I love milk.
You know,
big
it's
milk
an important
guy.
Part of developing a wholesome family.
Absolutely. Was raised on a lot of milk. Buffalo Wild Wings, Boomer Jacks, getting some love here as well. Texas Roadhouse. So we've got a ton that are be texting. Where'd you go growing
Texas
up?
Texas Roadhouse used to be so fun because you eat the peanuts and just throw them on the ground back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't
Did
know if you
really
do that now. Yeah, I think so.
Why?
Just throw them on the ground. It's great for the kids.
Man, I always thought as a kid they had hot waitresses too. And the jeans, big old booties.
Yeah, they
used
did.
To going.
Oh.
I didn't get to go to Hooters a lot as a kid.
You didn't ever go there?
No, that was not
so, like Texas Roadhouse was kind of it for me. I was like, oh, we're going to Roadhouse. Nice.
We went right after Little League games to Hooters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if my uncles and my dads were all the ones watching the games. We went straight to Hooters.
Yeah.
With your little football uniforms on, flirting with the girls, thinking they like you, bro.
We're 12.
No, my parents were notorious for, we're hungry. Can we go here? There's food in the kitchen. We just went grocery shopping.
Oh.
You know, it was constant like that.
Yeah.
We got Olive Garden at the house.
Yeah.
We have Olive Garden at the house.
Make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is what mom would say.
Yeah. I just asked for linguine.
There's food at home, damn it.
Yeah. Warm up 2 days ago leftovers.
Honorable mentions we've got on here. California Pizza Kitchen, CPK. We've got Perkins Restaurant and Bakery, which I think that's also big in Florida. I don't think we got Perkins here in the DFW. Fuddruckers. I don't even know if there's Fuddruckers around here anymore.
They had the best burger buns.
Yes!
Dude, the buns
by far.
Elite.
Fuddruckers was unbelievable.
Yeah. Elite. Bob Evans is on this list as an honorable mention. Ruby Tuesday.
She says she wanted diamonds. I took her to Ruby Tuesdays.
Red Lobster, Applebee's, and Denny's, and Waffle House. Waffle House was 11. Just missed the cut, Brian. I know you're a Waffle House guy.
Gosh.
Number 10, we've got TGI Fridays, which I haven't gotten to in a long, long time. I think they closed the one near me. Number 9 is IHOP. You remember when IHOP went to IHOP and people were
losing
their
minds? They got all the burgers and different stuff on the menu.
Like, wait a second, can we still get pancakes there or is it burgers only?
That was a weird pivot.
8 is Red Robin.
CEO got blown out too.
Big time. 7 is Chili's. I thought Chili's would be higher.
No.
They early in the 90s, they had a run. Early 90s, Chili's was on fire. They had a run.
We got love for Joe's Crab Shack. I think those have all closed.
Yeah, they used to have a run too, boy.
I went to Joe's a few times.
Sure did.
Furs being taken.
Furs, hell yes.
Yeah, Furs and Plano, that got close.
Furs, they got strawberry shortcake at the end of the line.
The desserts, yeah. They had a great dessert table. 6 is Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty solid.
That was one of those that was out of our range. Like, I can count on one finger the amount of times we went to Outback Steakhouse. I think it was for my 18th birthday.
Dude.
Overrated. I don't like those steaks.
Overrated.
Yeah.
Overrated. I don't like those steaks. Yeah,
I know. As I got older, I was like, wait a minute. We couldn't afford this?
Yeah. I'd much, like, no disrespect there. You got to get the Bloomin' Onion,
I guess. Gatekeeping this?
Yo. But I think
I go there quite often, you know, just to soak in the nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know?
The boomerangs and the walls.
No, I like the bread a lot. I mean, back when I drank beer, they have, like, ice on their mugs that would form. You know,
the Bloomin' Onion, got to have that.
Yeah, the Bloomin' Onion, you got to get. Absolutely.
And a mid-steak, still a good steak, you know, if you ask me.
5 is Dairy Queen, we got on here.
Mm. That's fast food. That's
fast food.
That's a different conversation.
4 is Cracker Barrel.
Very good. Man.
Road trips always stop at Cracker Barrel.
Have you had the fried chicken there?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Didn't you say the tacos are underrated, Brian?
Where, Dairy Queen.
I thought you meant it. Cracker Barrel.
Man, I have not had a bad thing at Cracker Barrel.
Have you ever traveled with anybody that will only stop if it's on the side of the road you're traveling? That they won't go over?
Like if the Cracker Barrel's on the other side of the highway,
they won't drive over gas stations. You're that way with gas stations?
Yeah.
I just don't want to turn around.
I don't want to make that left turn.
Seriously, I've traveled with people. There could be like the best restaurants, the Texas Roadhouses and the Cracker Barrels all on one side.
Yeah.
And you keep driving, and the next thing I'm doing, I'm eating a Slim Jim from a Sunoco gas station.
Jeez.
Yeah. Get that Sunoco fuel.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, back over. Oh, no, got to stay on this side of the road. Can't go over, can't cross over.
That's going to take you off course maybe 5 to 8 minutes, sitting at these lights, going over there.
You want good flow. And then they have to go around, you know, you can't get back.
To double back on the service road.
I think that should be disallowed. Food, if you have to eat, you should be able to go where you want to eat. I don't need somebody to tell me.
Agreed.
That's the captain of the ship you're talking about.
We can't
go to Slotsky's over here because it's on the other side of the road?
No, you've got to go to the Subway because we've got it on the right side of the road, Brian. I'm sorry. Mm. Cracker Barrel, fantastic. We got a lot of it's steak and ale, man.
Steak and ale was back in the day.
Yep, I grew up going to Steak and Ale.
Steak and Ale, they were started, Steak and Ale, like...
Salad bar?
Well, no, like Chili's came from the Steak and Ale people, the Brinkers.
We got to go. Great list, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Can you wrap it up?
By the way, number 1, Texas Roadhouse. 2 is Cheesecake Factory. Cha-ching. 3 is Olive Garden.
Of course it is.
And Applebee's.
Yes, sir.
Applebee's, yes.
We have Leah Asimakopoulos covering the stars for the morning news, and she joins us next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Well, thank you, Lucius. And this is a time to talk hockey here with you in the G-Bag Nation opening night for the Stars tomorrow in Nashville. Leah Asimakopoulos, covering the Stars for the Dallas Morning News, joins us now here in the G-Bag Nation. And a good afternoon, Leah. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. I was so proud of myself for having your last name just totally dialed.
That was impressive.
I screwed up on your first name, so I apologize for that.
Okay, no worries.
You join our Spits and Suds podcast regularly with the hockey hawk, Gavin Spittle. So you've heard Leah before if you've consumed our hockey content. I think everybody wants to know, you know, have the Stars done enough this offseason or will internal improvement happen enough for them to, you know, take care of this unfinished business they've been sniffing around, Leah?
Yeah, I think that's the million-dollar question. But I think they feel like they're in a pretty good spot. I think on free agency day, a lot of people were I'm sure if the, you know, additions of Lyubushkin and Dumba were going to be enough, but just based on what things have looked like throughout camp and, you know, letting Miro Heiskanen play on his dominant side, kind of splitting him up and him and Harley up, it looks pretty solid so far. And I think they feel like they've got a lot more depth on the blue line, and that was really the area they think was kind of the fatal flaw against Edmonton. So, you know, if that's what it comes down to and that's all they needed to do, I think they feel like they're in a pretty good spot. But, you know, it's a long season. Injuries can happen. People can underperform. So, you know, it's definitely too early to tell what's going to come in the spring.
How excited are you about some of the youth that they've got? Obviously, we've seen Wyatt Johnston the last couple of years, but Logan Stankoven stepping up. And then this Maverick Bork, I know you had an article out today about him and how patient he's been. But the youth mixed with the veterans that they've got on this squad, it's a special blend.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the identity of this team for the last couple of years. You've got some of your veteran guys like Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn still playing at a pretty high level. And then, you know, the youth is really carrying the team. And it was once Jason Robertson and Miro Heiskanen and Jake Oettinger, and now it's, you know, even younger, as you mentioned. But, of course, I think everyone is expecting a lot from Wyatt Johnston after the year he had. But I am really excited to see what Logan Stankoven and Maverick Bork do. They, together in the AHL, they were the two best players in that league, and they played on a line together there. And it looks like they're going to do the same in Dallas. And, you know, they're just very well-rounded players. They, you know, can contribute defensively. They can score a lot of goals. Maverick Bork can penalty kill. They can all play on the power play. There's just a lot that they bring to the table, and that's kind of what you have to do as a young player, 20-something years old, to kind of make a name for yourself. So it's going to be really exciting to see how they can kind of take the scoring, especially to the next level.
Hey, Leah, I don't mean to be the wet blanket guy, but I saw two goalies signed for like $8 million. Here recently.
Yeah.
Is our guy about to sign for $8 million? Are we going to jump on this? I mean, I know we got some other, I think Wyatt Johnston, some others have got some contract considerations as well, but do we got an $8 million goalie on our hands?
I think we might, just because we asked Jim Nill on the first day of camp about, you know, if there was any discussion of trying to re-sign Oettinger before the season started. And he even said himself that there are some deals that goalies want to see shake out. And that was before the Swayman deal and everything. So it seemed like even he wanted to kind of see what the goalie market was going to be set at. But, you know, I guess it's going to depend on what he does this year. But,
sure,
you know, if he has another playoff run like he did last year and can, you know, stay healthy, I think, yeah, we're probably poised for something in that range.
What do you think about the situation, you know, behind him now with Scott Wedgwood gone? I guess there's a possibility maybe they play head-to-head tomorrow night in the opener. But, I mean, now losing that piece, and they've had that with Anton Udobin as well, it seems like you need somebody that you can really rely on next to Otter to kind of spell him.
Oh, absolutely. I think especially last year, I mean, we saw that, and regardless of the injury, the goal was to play him last year, and they were kind of forced into that because he misses a month of the year. But even Pete DeBoer said this year they only want to play him 55 games, and he played 54 last year and missed an entire month of the season. So they're, you know, they definitely plan to use Casey DeSmith, and I think that's a big question mark for a lot of people to see what that's going to look like, how he's going to fit into everything. Obviously, Scott Wedgwood was a very beloved player in the locker room. He and Oettinger had a great relationship, so we'll see what that's like with DeSmith. But, you know, he's going to have to be a critical piece of this for Oettinger to have another successful year.
I see in the morning paper, Leah, you got the Stars finishing second in the West. I guess that's what you want with this president's curse, right? You want to finish second, then go win Lord Stanley?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, winning the West for them was great last year, but it feels like, especially with how the league is right now and the parity, especially in the West, it just doesn't really matter where you finish. Of course, you want to have the home ice advantage, and that's nice, but, you know, they're going to have a ridiculous road to the Stanley Cup final no matter where they finish. They had it last year. I mean, you play the last two defending champions, and then you play the best player in the world. So I think at the end of the day, you know, they look like they're going to make the playoffs, and that's kind of all that really should matter. Of course, they want to win the division. Of course, they want to win the conference, but you get a spot, and that needs to just kind of be the priority.
How many teams are in the West have a shot?
a lot. I mean, you even hear this year teams that really weren't being spoken about last year in the Central Division, like, you know, Nashville's a contender to win the division this year. Minnesota's in it. Utah is in it. I mean, all these teams that no one was even thinking about last year. I think the Central's definitely better than the Pacific, but it's probably the toughest division in hockey. So I guess if you can come out of that, then you're in a pretty good spot.
What do we know about Jason Robertson's health coming into the season?
So he's said that he feels great. He's in a good spot now. Obviously had off-season surgery on his foot to remove a cyst. And you know, we've talked a lot about how, you know, Jason Robertson has missed camp before and went on and had a great start to the year. Of course, it's a little bit different now because he didn't have an off-season and was non-weight-bearing for, I think, about 6 weeks. So he's back with the group. He's been skating with them all week. He's expected to play tomorrow and, you know, says that he's in a good spot and said the other day that he feels better on ice than off the ice in terms of how his foot feels. So I guess that's a good sign, but hasn't really dealt with too many injuries recently. So will be interesting to see how he responds to that.
Hey, Leah, I want you to break the hockey tradition of telling me it's an upper or lower body injury. I want you to actually tell me what the injury is. I think you guys in hockey, all the writers are getting together. It's kind of a lazy take is what it really is. You know, you guys are better than that. Okay.
I would love to be able to give you all the details. Trust me. We ask and we are given no answers. So if you want to ask me what Maverick Bork's injury is, I could not tell you at this point. So
Is that really the case? Yeah. I mean, you live with this team and you really, is it that serious and that secretive?
Oh, especially in the playoffs. It's not as bad in the regular season. And I mean, I think it depends on the injury too. If it's something that happens in a game and
yeah.
You know, we see someone get hit, we know and we can ask. And, you know, there's times where we'll see, where they won't disclose, but then we'll see a guy, you know, on crutches and we obviously know it's lower body, or we'll see him in a sling and we know it's upper body. But I remember in the playoff run, like, they didn't want to say anything about anything. They see it so much as a competitive advantage, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's certainly annoying for us, but it's just part of the sport.
Leah, I found out doing research on pronouncing your name that you wanted to be a WNBA player growing up. Were you a pretty good hooper?
Yes. That was. Sorry, go ahead.
Were you a good hooper? How far did you go?
I played in high school. I wouldn't say I was ever going to play in the WNBA, even though I may have believed it when I was like 10 years old, but My high school team was okay when I was there, and the year I left, they became the number one team in the country.
Wow.
So I like to say that I kind of laid the groundwork for that.
Great mentor. Leah Asimakopoulos covers the Stars for the Morning News. Thank you so much. Enjoy tomorrow and the whole season, and we'll try to catch up with you soon.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Cheers. All righty. We got three down, two to go. 325 says General Lieutenant Dan update. They kicked him out of the boat, moved him into a hotel. Police got involved.
Oh, they said you can't do this.
You can't do
ruining
it.
Ruining all the fun. There's no way you're going to keep that boat upright, are you? We got tornadoes and hurricanes. I think the police did the right thing.
Yeah, they probably did.
Yeah, you gotta save people from themselves sometimes.
Yep, absolutely.
Got a death wish out there, Lieutenant Dan, thinking he's going to ride it out in a John boat.
Ice cream. I think it, John boat.
Well, it would have been interesting video.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Was it a John boat?
No, I don't think so.
If it was like a Boston Whaler, we might have had a chance.
It looked like one of those fishing boats, that had the little tarp on it, like in,
So like a saltwater boat?
Kind of. No, okay. But like...
Kinda.
Dilapidated, you know, like a small fishing village, where they're fishing for sustenance.
Like we're going, like we're hunting gators and stuff like that.
Yes.
Louisiana gator.
You got it. Yeah, that's the kind of boat. It just wasn't safe. I hope people. I mean, some of the video that's coming across here is we're going to go out to break here and get you set for the 5 o'clock hour. Giant tornadoes. This is really unbelievable.
It really is.
You know, it is
terrifying.
So Milton came ashore with tornadoes, and it's one of the craziest days in weather you'll ever see. Okay, so if you're on your way home and you're getting ready to tune into the evening news, thanks so much for making us part of your day. Hopefully everybody connected to our friends and family in Florida is doing their best to get through this thing with minimal damage. But we're back with an edition of Football's Finest. Wolchuk, what's on the agenda?
Yeah, how many Connor Stallions are there in college football, and what's your reason for Cowboys hope? That's next in the name.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy
Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.